This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from the Tantalk Radio Network studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. I told the mayor I tell everybody that. This half hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson. They are intellectual property specialists, so whether you have written a book or a movie script or even made come up with a great invention, they are the perfect people to contact. Larson & Larson offer free consultations, so just give them a call at 727-546-0660. They're my lawyers and they should be yours, and I was just thinking about them the other day because I just came out with another invention, and with I do a lot of things, But I also have 4 patents, and now I've come out with another invention. So I'm going to go see them pretty soon. It's so exciting today. I have with me, well, not with me. I wish she was, but she's on the other side of the state. But Tadra Candle. Hi, Tadra.
Hey. Nice to be here.
Oh, nice to talk to you again. Well, you know, ever since I met you at the Beach Babes Book Blast, I've been following your work, and I'm so excited to have you back today. You know, you are an amazing writer, and of course, you're well known for your romance fiction, and you also have young adult paranormal romance, like in the King series. And what I had read recently was a book called When We Were Us. And I really like this book. You know, it's you have to tell us a little bit about it. But one of the things I want to say to you know, the listeners, people always talk about, you know, how do you write a point of view? Is it difficult to go to write a point of view from two different characters? Well, in this, you've tackled a real challenge, and you have the point of view of 3 characters.
Yes. Yeah,
it's you know, really good, and it really is a story that starts with 3 people before they're even born. So tell us a little bit about this wonderful story you've come out with.
Well, the Keeping Score trilogy is different for me in that I usually write standalone novels that are part of a loosely woven series. There might be a backstory that unites them all. There might be a community that unites them all. But Keeping Score is actually, all 3 books are about the same 3 people, and it follows them from, as you said, basically they are friends before they are born. Their mothers meet in a prenatal yoga class, and then they go throughout life together, sometimes closer than others, and it follows them from their very young age all the way through young adulthood, early to mid-20s. So it's been a challenge in a lot of ways. I wasn't sure how my readers would like the fact that there's no happy ending at the end of book 1 or book 2. And they keep saying, we're trusting you for book 3. I do promise that there will be, you know, a resolution, and I hope everybody will be happy with it by the end of book 3.
But and book 3 comes out in September?
September, yes. Book 2 came out May 24th, so it's been out not quite a month yet, and then book 3 will be out in September. And it was tough to make, you know, I make my release schedules at least a year, maybe a little bit more ahead of time, and it seemed like a good decision to make it in September, but it was very hard to back away from that world to write the books that are coming out in between, which are not, you know, related. I have had a harder time withdrawing myself from Leo and Quinn and Nate's world and going into a kind of different, lighter world. that I have to.
Well, the world that you've created with the three characters you mentioned, Nate and Leo, and then
Quinn,
and then Quinn, the girl in the trio. Yeah. You have just developed them so beautifully. I just love it, and I love how you've managed to capture this switching the point of view so seamlessly and so very well, because it's not an easy thing to go to be writing in one voice for one character and then switch over to the voice of the other character and keep it real.
It's not easy. These characters are very real to me, so you know, I really struggle when people say, well, I really don't like this character, or this character really annoys me, and it's never the same. You know, most of my readers tend to have a big soft spot for Leo. They were maybe not quite so thrilled with him at the end of When We Were Us, but in Hanging by a Moment, which is the second book, they tended to love him a little bit more. And I do have some who like Nate too. Nate is a complex character who is making decisions in a different paradigm than many other people do. It's in the blurb, so this is not spoiling anything when I say Nate was born prematurely and has suffered with a lot of long-term health ailments. He's very different from Leo, who is a football player and, you know, a
real jock.
Strong. Yes.
Real jock.
He is. Yeah. Yes, he is. And while Nate has found his own outlet for things, he's a rower. You know, he has found a way to capture that part. You know, it certainly is not a measure of masculinity. It's simply, as I said, he lives his life in a different paradigm than the rest of the characters, and probably than a lot of people in the world do. And so his decisions are made in that setting, not in the setting of people who, how people his age would generally think. And I'll leave it at that.
So how, when you're working with the three points of view, how do you do that? Do you go, do you switch back and forth as you do in the book, or do you continue with sort of one narration and then sort of cut and paste them?
This book has been a different writing style for me in that I wrote out of order. I usually, since my first or second book, I think I've almost always started at the beginning, written. There were books where I wrote to a certain point, then went ahead and wrote the end, and then married the two points, you know, wrote everything in between. But this book, I have jumped around. There were parts that I wrote sooner than others. But no, generally, I do write in the order that it's seen there as far as the points of view. I don't just write all of Quinn's stuff and then all of Leo's and then all of Nate's, mostly because they are reacting to each other, too. It's almost like being on a stage. It's very difficult for actors to react to somebody who's not there. I know I've heard a lot of people talk about working with that, you know, in this computer age, working with a green screen for a character who's computer generated. It's very hard. It's a different level of reacting to somebody who's not physically there. And, you know, as an author, it's the same way. I need to see exactly what Quinn is saying and what she's saying and what she's doing in order for Leo to have the correct perspective when it comes for his turn. So generally I switch out, pretty regularly, and I get to a certain point in the book and I have it planned out where is coming then. Now, there have been times when I've gone back and said, I think Nate has something to say in between these two chapters. So, you know, I'll jump back in and put one of his chapters there if I feel that he really hasn't gotten his say, or same with Leo, same with Quinn. So.
Well, you as I said, it reads so smoothly and so it just builds each layer builds up to the complete story, and it's I love the way you've done this.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
it's This is a story that I have been that has been in the back of my mind for probably about 5 or 6 years, and so it has had a lot of time to marinate and gel. And I have talked it over. My daughters and I, we love to go to the beach. That's really our happy place. And one of the things we love to do on the beach is go for long walks together. And so my daughters have been subjected to me telling this story in different forms over the past few years. Well, this is what I think is going to happen. And, you know, and this is where I see this now. And, oh, okay, now this is really going, you know. So they've been very patient listening to me kind of work it out. And that's my way of plotting and planning.
When I read the story, what I liked about it also is not just a point of view, but that you were able to write male point of view and female point of view and have them being quite distinct. And each of them is so realistic that, you know, sometimes women will say, oh, I can't write from a man's point of view, or a guy will write an action thing and then he'll fall down when he tries to write from a woman's point of view. But you've managed to do both.
I'm not really sure if this is a good thing or not, but I discovered with my the first time I wrote in an entirely male point of view that I absolutely loved it. That was Undeniable, which was one of my paranormal new adult romances. And it was so easy. It was really so easy for me to do it, and I loved it. And so that's why it's been a kind of an indulgence for me as an author whenever I write in a dual point of view to have the male there too, because it really I do enjoy that. It is something that I like. And Leo is just so much fun to write, and he's a football player, and I love football. So for me,
I was going to say that for a woman, you know, it comes across that you really know football.
I'm kind of alone in my family. My husband tolerates it. He really does not have the passion that I do for it, and my children certainly do not. They also tolerate it. They kind of call it the season when mommy yells a lot, but not at them. They know it. And my dad was I'm one of two girls, and my dad was did not have any qualms with sharing his love for football, passing it on early, teaching us. You know, we knew the ins and outs fairly early. And I remember being in high school and people saying, "Well, wait, how do you know this?" And you know, well, how would I not know it?
Well, it's worked out beautifully, because that really is why I think your character Leo is such a full and full-bodied in every way character, and so realistic because of this knowledge of football that, you know, is surprising, you know, coming from a woman writer. And I just love that you are able to carry that off.
It's one of my it's become kind of my favorite genre, this subgenre of sports romances. And there is a growing swell of authors who are, and especially women authors, who really do this well. And I absolutely love to read their work. And it was really great for me once I finally got to the point that I had time to write this. Like, yes, sports romance, finally. There's usually a little bit of sports in even my other books now and then, if I can sneak it in here or there. But to actually have permission to embrace it fully was a lot of fun.
Well, I'm not sure. How many books have you written now? You've written a lot of books.
I think we figured out that Hanging by a Moment was, I think it was my 35th release.
So you have several trilogies.
Yes, I have quite a few contemporary romance trilogies, and I have now my paranormal tend to be more ongoing series, except for the King Quartet, which was for young adult paranormal.
And then you even have gotten into paramystery.
Yes.
What was that? The Recipe for Death series.
Yes. That's one of my favorite series actually in my paranormal world because it's lighter. It's, you know, the paranormal, especially in new adult and young adult, tends to be very heavy and angsty and very serious. And this para mystery, it's, you know, there's a murder mystery in each book. There's a paranormal backdrop. And yet the main character is a fairly normal 30-something-year-old woman who is, you know, in the middle of all this and trying to get through all of it in the midst of living in this retirement community in Florida where she is the youngest resident. And there's always, you know, a little bit of comedy, a little bit of light. And it's just, it's a lot of fun. But
I think they're great reads. It's really fun. I think every once in a while, a person reads a lot, and then sometimes you just need one of these books that's absolutely fun. just gives you a kick. I love that. So, as I said, so many books, and I don't know. Wow, you have like a schedule. Most people don't like schedule. You're scheduling your releases. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I have people who work with me who I like to do them the courtesy of letting them know when they can expect things. I have a formatter who I like to give her all of my work as much ahead of time as I can so that she knows when to expect it. I think that's, you know, that's courtesy. And you know, everybody else who helps me do what I need to do. So, and plus it keeps me on schedule, it keeps me on track.
Well, that's one of the things I want to talk to you about keeping you on track, about how you do some of the sort of backstory of how you publish and about the events that you attend. I have to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I have a lot of questions for you. Okay?
Okay.
Just hold on.
Free to try means you try before you buy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with Todra Candle, a romance author who I just admire so much because she is so multi-talented. She can go from one genre of the romance fiction to another. And I've been really impressed. I've been watching her over the past year and a half, and you've done so much just in the year and a half. Hi, Tadra.
Hi, Patsy.
Well, I one of the things I want to ask, because you are amazing in your marketing side, because this is one of the most difficult things for so many authors. They want to write, and when I read your work, I can see the joy that you have in writing. As I was saying in the most recent book I read, When We Were Us, you just love those characters that you've developed. And but then there's also this side of you that you must, get involved in the marketing side.
Yes. You have to be in this day and age. I've talked before that there was a time, apparently, so I hear, when you could write a book, send it off, and forget about it and worry about the next one because there were other people who were taking care of everything. That day has passed. Authors have to be their own marketers now. Even if you have help, even if you have a full-service traditional publishing company, you have got to be your own marketer, your own cheerleader. It's just not a negotiable task anymore.
I was recently talking to Jane Friedman, who, of course, was the editor of, the Writer's Digest, and she's done so many blogs about writing. And, of course, she talks about the writer's platform and what you have to do. And I was wondering, what are your most successful forays into the marketing world? What do you find brings you the most return for your time and energy?
It changes all the time because this business is changing all the time. So I try to throw things up, see what sticks, work with it for a while, and then keep my ear open all the time. And I try to be in touch with a lot of different authors because when we share things as a community, we can only benefit as a community. I've been very blessed in a partnership I have partnerships with several different authors. One in particular is author Olivia Harden. She and I work together. We have not written together yet, although that is hopefully on the horizon. But we work together in that she finds things that will benefit me. I do the same for her, and things will benefit both of us together. And I think having more than one mind can only be helpful. And so we try to build up these communities. We have groups where we share information, where we share what worked for us. And it's just positive. Certainly Facebook has it's a double-edged sword, but it has been very helpful. Social media as a whole does. Events are, there's a lot of controversy about how helpful events are for me. They have been. I slowed down a little bit on them this year, but, overall, I've been very happy with them. So.
Now, do you find a great deal of success from email solicitations, from having a large email list?
I do have a newsletter list. I do have a large newsletter list, and I have a hierarchy of let's say information and ways to get goodies is how we kind of term it. I have a private reader group. They're called the Temptresses, and they are people who have read my work. They do enjoy it. They get first look at anything I've written. They are allowed to sign up to be beta readers, to be advanced reader, copy readers, and they get first look at covers, blurbs, links, everything. They get it first.
Now, did you set up this team?
Yes, this is a team that actually my my VA, my personal assistant and virtual assistants set up, and it's great. They're the people who I come to when I really need to talk about characters and say, what did you think of this or what do you think of that, and they are very honest with me, and I appreciate that. And then my newsletter subscribers, they get second crack at anything. Covers go out to them before they're released to the general public, and that's basically how we do things.
And I know that your covers are very good. You have an excellent excellent range of covers. You know, for the different books, I really like your covers. They're very good.
And they are by talented people because, as I always say, I cannot draw a stick figure well. So I tend to look at, I'm not a visual person in that way, so I tend to look at things and go, oh, yeah, that'll work. But again, I have this team that if I have a new cover, I present it to my group first, and they tell me, oh, yes, this will work. I like this. This jives with the characters. This works. Or, oh, no, absolutely not. Send it back to the drawing board. So it's good to have that feedback when that's something I don't necessarily feel tremendously confident about my own opinions.
So one of the ways that you get people, the email addresses, do you get these at the events you attend? I know that I met you at Beach Babes Book Blast, which was lots mm-hmm. of fun, which was a blast.
Yes.
And
yes.
Those type of events, is that probably the best way to get people's emails?
I do get some there, but mostly it's through my books. When people finish at the end of each book, there's a link that you can click on to sign up for my newsletter. It's on all of my social media pages. There are, sometimes there are giveaways where people will sign up. There's almost always a free book download that is available if you sign up for my newsletter. So I try to keep it available on many different venues so that it's always there, and there's always opportunity for people to sign up. So, but the events are great. The events, you know that the people who are signing up at your table truly want, to hear about your book. So that's always a positive thing.
And one author was telling me that it was very, she was able to trace actually people who took selfies with her and then sent them on to other people and sent them on to other people, and she was getting really quite a following just from people who forwarded the selfies.
Exactly. Yes.
I was so surprised the first time I attended one of these events, and I saw long lines of readers waiting to meet the authors. And I'm the kind of person who I won't wait in a line. I'd rather, having lived perhaps maybe overseas and in other countries, I'm a great believer in backsheesh. So I was always used to, in Europe and in other countries I lived, a few dollars, and I would get to the front of the line. So when I see a line, I think, I'm not... And I really sort of resent that here. When I moved back to America, you can't go, we have a restaurant here, Krabby Bill's. On Friday night, the line is 50 deep. And I would just love to be able to walk up and, say, okay, here's a 50. Get me at the front of the line. They don't do it here.
And Krabby Bill's is here to say, no, they don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, it's to me because it's my mindset having been involved in countries where it was real easy to get to the front of the line. So I'm talking to these readers at the Beach Babes Book Blast, and they're in long lines. There were nice long lines for you and for, some of the other writers. And I said, why would you do this to yourself? And they're so enthusiastic. They say, well, I love her books. I just read them and I reread them. And I just want to, meet her and thank her so much because they know the characters so well. They know the story so well. And I think that that's a great, wonderful thing that, romance authors are very aware of what the readers expect of them. So you don't, do anything. As you said, sometimes this case where the readers were, well, book one wasn't a happy ending, book two isn't a happy ending.
Yes.
But it's important that, writers are aware of the readers, and I just love to see when readers get so enthusiastic.
Absolutely love it, yes, absolutely. And I think when I was on your show last year, we were talking about Indie Book Fest, which this year is in October in Altamont Springs, a little bit north of Orlando. And that's one of the things I really, really love about it, that I did not so much see until I was an organizer of an event. I was able to kind of stand back as I was still there as an author, but I like to tell people I was there more of the mother of the bride than the bride. I think we had 70-some brides that weekend, which was fun. But to be able to stand back and just see the readers get excited, be appreciated, appreciative of the time and the effort that the authors are putting in. We had a line out the door before the signing, waiting. We had people who were just came up to me and said, "Thank you. I just got to spend 15 minutes during fanfare talking with this author whose books I have gotten me through some rough times." That gives me goosebumps. That makes it all worthwhile. That makes all the late nights and everything that makes my life.
Oh, it is. It's a wonderful. I was so thrilled just to talk to the readers and see that enthusiasm and the joy that they got from it. It's a wonderful thing. And we're gonna have the Beach Babes book blast here also in September. Yes. Again,
November.
Oh, it's November this year. Yeah,
yes,
yeah. They
I'll
changed it.
Yes,
okay, so you'll be
yes,
there. Well, good.
Yes,
then you'll have
there
to come
yes
into the studio again and talk about all of your other things that you will have released by then. Because as I said, you're always releasing things.
Yes.
Now, do you have, talking about being well organized, do you have, when you write a book, do you set yourself a certain goal of how many books you want to sell each month?
How many books I want to sell each
I don't think we have to. You have to set goals for writing. I think you write and walk with the girls, and that's you have. I don't know if you have time to do the dishes or.
That's why I have daughters.
That's right.
No, and son. Yes, daughters and son. As far as how many books I felt, yeah, there are goals depending on what promotional opportunities are going on that month. This month, in particular, we gave my very first book, Fearless, we gave it a new cover because of a lot of different things that went into the original cover we were no longer happy with, and we wanted it to really match the rest of the series, so we gave it a new cover, and it's actually going to be featured on BookBub at the end of June. So it is free for a very limited time, and so that's one of our goals this month is promoting that. We're still working with the Keeping Score trilogy, and then I have another release in my Always Love trilogy. It's actually the third book in the Always Love trilogy. It's coming out at the end of July, so we're ramping up into that. So. There's always a goal of, pre-orders. How are we working on pre-orders? How are we working on backlist? And how are we working on current releases? So.
And when, are you primarily Amazon, or do you also do?
I'm on all venues.
All venues.
I'm on all venues. Yeah. I'm on all venues. I'm actually now, and this is different since I spoke to you last. I'm now actually published through Ever After, which is a division of Diversion Romance, and so I'm hybrid. I am both indie and published. They handle my paperbacks and they handle some of my ebooks. So I handle Amazon and
Kobo. And do you do Kobo thing. And iBook?
Yeah. Yes, I'm on Kobo. Oh, I'm on iBook. iBook is one of my favorite venues, and Barnes & Noble, and then all the smaller ones, too, Scribd and Oyster and Chelino, all the fun things.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There is a lot of work that goes into this.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's not a profession for somebody who wants an easy, an easy job where you put something out and sit back. No. There's a lot of work that goes into it. But, at the end of the day, it's also, if it's something you enjoy, it's so much fun, and there's so much reward on so many different levels. So I love my community of authors. I am so grateful that I get to work with people whose work I admire and enjoy. That's been a huge perk for me, is to be able to just message an author whose book I've just read and say, and know that I know her well enough to say, oh my gosh, this is great, I loved it, and she knows me, and, you know.
One of the things I've discovered is that authors in general are very helpful to each other, and it is a wonderful community, but particularly the romance authors, because as you said, you do form groups, you do get together, more so than there are some mystery writer events and things, but the big events are mostly the romance writer events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you guys get together and socialize and help each other along, and I think that's just a wonderful testament to the type of people you are, you know, looking for exactly what you want. You want to touch the hearts of your readers. You want to give them something, and it's amazing to see how generous and kind the romance writers are to each other, and then to new people, to people who are just coming into the business.
We really do. We really do try. Those of us who are smart know that we have not yet met the reader who reads only one book. So it's really in everybody's best interest to encourage a wide readership. And it's not, I don't have readers who only read my books. I love to be able to say, oh my goodness, I just read this. You guys need to run out and grab it right now because it was so good, it kept me up all night. That doesn't hurt me at all. And if I can help somebody else, then I think that's great. We're not in competition. We're in cooperation.
Exactly. Yeah. Because particularly romance writers, and I think a lot with mystery writers too, but romance writers, romance readers, I mean, and read. I mean, they read a lot.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
bless them. Yes,
it's fantastic. I just love when they say, well, I read two books this week. And I say, yeah, that's great. You know, that's wonderful. And as I said, they get to know the characters, and it's beautiful to see.
Yes. Yes. I love, I'll have readers who will say, so-and-so said thus and such, or they'll be beta reading for me and say, now this person said this, but I remember two books back they said that, and I'll, oh my goodness, oh. You're right, and that's good. That I'm glad. I love it when somebody catches me, and because I do have a lot of characters, so sometimes there will be, a little mixed
well,
up.
Well, yeah, you have so many people in your mind. It's amazing.
It's very crowded. Yes, it's very crowded.
It is a very crowded. I wonder what's inside that brain of yours. Oh boy, all these people dancing around in there, and
well, they're quiet until it's their turn. This is the agreement we have. So,
just talking a little bit about you, because as you mentioned, you have two daughters, and
actually, I have three daughters.
Three daughters. Okay.
Yeah. Three daughters and a son. Yeah.
And wow. So, yeah. When did you find time to start writing? Were they young when you started writing?
No. My kids now range from, my son is 15, he'll be 16 in September, and my oldest daughter is 27. So I really did not start writing until they were all, beyond the age of needing me daily, although they still tell me they need me. That's good. They still get a little testy when I'm at the end of a book and I've kind of disappeared from life for a few days. They want me back. Which is good.
Absolutely.
It would be a bigger problem if they didn't want me back. But I always say to the people who are writing with toddlers and infants and having babies actively, and I have no idea how they do it. I would never have been able to do what I'm doing now when my kids were younger. And I'm very glad that I had the time that I did, because I was a full-time wife and homeschooling mommy for a long time, for over 20 years before I switched into a role as author and publisher.
And there is nothing in the world, and I tell this to mothers, there is nothing in the world that is more fulfilling and more fun and more joyous than homeschooling your children. And for those of us who have done it, it's like a gift from God. Those years that you are with them, that when you look back on it later and you say, oh, I'm just, thank God I had all that time with them. I had all those years with them. I can never understand anyone who doesn't see how much fun it was mostly fun for me.
It is. It's so much fun, and it's so, you know, it's flexible, or it's as flexible as you will allow it to be as a homeschooling family. And, you know, I'm down to the end now. As I said, my son, my last one, is nearly 16, and but we're still having a grand time. I mean, we still really, really have a blast. And I've come to the realization that it really never ends, because even with my daughters who are grown, and I mean, my oldest has her master's, she's a speech language pathologist, and they're all at different levels and just doing amazing things, but they're taking that out. My third daughter went to both Peru and was on the Amazon River this year, and then was in Austria and Germany for a week, and I see the lessons that we embraced as a homeschooling family now being, she's living them out, and
I always told people, well, you know, I had to make my boys interesting because I spend all the time with them. You wouldn't want children who are, you know, dull and boring if you're going to spend 24 hours a day with them. So my kids, you know, from the time they were toddlers, they were already going on adventures to the Orinoco River and discovering angel waterfalls in Venezuela. And I mean, you know, in Africa, we roamed all over Africa by the time they were 3 years old. That's why I think I know with my children, and I see with your children, they have so much. So much to think about, so much to explore, and because we put it in them.
Exactly. And you know, and it can go whether you are traveling the world or whether you are traveling your community. I truly think that you're just opening up courses and venues and things for your kids and their minds that, as you said, we have a vested interest in making them wonderful people because we're spending a lot of time with them.
So. Exactly. If they were boring and just dull-minded, I'd send them to school and say, get out of here. You know, I don't...
Exactly. Yeah. I was supposed to go someplace the other day, and I said, I was supposed to travel a lot more this summer, and I'm actually kind of happy that everything got canceled because I'm like a kid who just got out for the summer. I'm wide open, I can just write and relax and be at home, and I'm very happy about that. And I said to my kids, well, of course, because I get to spend time with you, and you're my favorite people. Why wouldn't I want to just stay here and be with you? So, you know.
Exactly. I could never understand people would say, oh, I have to get back to work because I need some adult conversation. I thought, that, you know, at work, what do you talk about? It's the same boring stuff, you know. But with kids who you can just give them a new place to go, a new adventure, mm-hmm. a new book. All the books I read because of my children.
Exactly.
I would have missed out on so many books, you know, if I had not homeschooled, if they had just mm-hmm. read books at school. But because we were like endlessly roaming secondhand bookstores and reading everything.
Exactly. And that, you know, there's a world right then and there. And you can not only travel distance-wise through a book, you can travel through time, you can travel through space. It's, you know, it's amazing. Clearly, I'm a big reader.
Well, me too. So, I just want to say, you know, so enjoyed talking to you, and so are you involved in the Indie Fest again this year? Are you going to?
Yes, I'm. Mandy and I are organizing it again, and it's October 7th through 9th in Altamont Springs, and at the Hilton there. And yes, we have over 90 authors participating this year. Yes, I've added some brides to our weekend long.
Well, this year I'm going to try to get out there. Last year I wasn't able to do it, but this year I want to come out and meet some of the authors and go around and sign some people up to come on to the show, because it's just so much fun to meet these authors. And I want to, I might float around with a camera and do some video of the readers, so I get their to make comments for me. So
that would be a great idea. They would love that. We have basically 3 days of panels and workshops, and this year we're doing a dedicated industry day for authors. So even if you're not a signing author, you can come and learn from some of the most talented, most amazing experts in these different fields of promotion and editing and amazing. I can't wait to sit down. I already have my list of questions.
And is there a website already for this?
Yes, it's Indie Book Convention. I should check on that because I don't know. But I think it's on my Facebook page.
Okay, and let's spell your Facebook page.
Yes, it's TAWDRAKANDLE. And if you just look, if you just look up my first name, TAWDRA,
there's nobody else named Tadra.
Not that I've met.
I have not met anybody else named Tadra, and I have not found anyone else named Patsy with a Z.
I know, we are unique.
Yeah, we are unique. So yeah, go to Tadra's site. And get this. And Tadra, what you have to do is plan. I'll give you a date, and you'll come back in September, and we'll talk more about the actual things that are going on and the events that people can sign up for, and give more details. But it is going to be a fun event, and it's lovely to go out there and to be at the Hilton and just to be part of something as exciting as this.
It really is. It is. And I'm going to be in your neck of the woods in September for the NINC conference, which is just an author's conference. So we can work something out, and I would love to come.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So you'll come in September and explain to everyone what they have to do to get involved in the... so you have 90 authors already signed up? That's it?
We do. Yes, we have 90 authors, over 90 authors, who are going to be featured authors, which means they will be signing, they will be sitting on panels, they will be, providing swag, doing meet and greets during the, during the course of the weekend. We have some VIP tickets left, I think. I don't know if we have many, but those afford you some more opportunities with the authors. It gets you into this year. We have a green room for food that will be going on throughout the entire event. So the VIP ticket gets you into the green room. We have two parties. We have a fanfare, which is on Friday night, and we have a group of authors are hosting a party on Saturday night that is about zombies. So that's going to be fun.
Oh, that'd be fun. So, I've got a couple of young girls who are working on their first zombie books, and I have to tell them about that. They'll love that. Yeah. It's going to be fun. Yeah. Okay, great. What I'll do, I'm going to put a link on my webpage to your webpage, so that people can find out more about it. And I think this is going to be just lots of fun for both the readers and for the writers. So I just, again, want to thank you for coming on, and we're going to have you then back when you come in September. You send me the dates that you're going to be here, and I'll make sure I clear a day for you so you can come in and talk about it. And meanwhile, I just want to, again, thank you so much for being on the show, and to tell everyone, to go out and get some of Tadra's books. Look on her website. She has a nice website. And, again, I was just so impressed when we were us. It really is a book that I know I'm going to be giving away to some people too, because I think it's a great book.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
So thank you so much, and have a great summer, and we'll see you in September, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, Patsy.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Bye-bye now, Tadra.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, that's really nice to hear about this Indie Book Fest, and I will put it on my webpage, which is radio-joyonpaper.com. Please go there and have a look at that. Link on to Tadra and to the Indie Book Fest. It's going to be lots of fun. It's a wonderful opportunity if you're a writer and you're working on your first book or you haven't finished yet. This is a wonderful opportunity to hear from many, many successful writers, over 90. That's a big event. And I'm sure they will have wonderful workshops that will be very helpful to you. So I suggest that you go to my website again. It's radio-joyonpaper.com. And not only will I have a link there later today to the Indie Book Fest, but I will also I have an archive page where you can hear some of my past interviews, and I hope that you will do that. And then, meanwhile, coming soon, I have Angela Hunt coming on soon. Her new book, Delilah, just came out, and I just got a copy. They sent it to me. It's hot off the press, and I'm going to be reading it this weekend. And she's a fantastic author. She wrote the book based on the movie Risen, which was a wonderful adaptation of the movie. And I know that you will enjoy hearing from her. And that's going to be coming soon. The next week, I have a wonderful, on Tuesday, I have a young author, Nikki Drayden, who I can tell you has just done a marvelous job. She wrote short stories. I don't know the full story of how she got a book deal. And one of the best agents in New York City. She's now represented by the Moss Agency, which is like the best you can get in New York. That and Irene Goodman and Lane Zachary are some of the best representation. And so I'm excited to hear from Nikki Drayden next week how she got this deal. And it's fantastic. She's a young science fiction writer, and she was just writing short stories. She had 9 short stories, books, and now she's got a big deal with a novel, and it'll be coming out in a year. But meanwhile, we're going to talk to her about how she did it, and it's very exciting. So hope that you have a good weekend. If you're looking for some place to go, go to the Miami Avenue Wine Bar and Art Studio. I'm sorry, Art Gallery. It's an art gallery, and it's a lovely place. There's beautiful art, wonderful dancing on Friday and Saturday nights. So take yourself there. Oh, tonight is Thursday, so tonight they will have light jazz, and it's very, very, very nice place to go. Have a glass of wine and go there with your friends. So have a nice weekend, and just remember, this is Patsy with a Z, wishing you a great weekend. Remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. And so join me next Tuesday for my interview with Nikki Drayden about how she got a book deal. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it, and have a great week. Bye.